Have you worked in a dark room? The cramped little room is lit only by a faint red bulb. If you're lucky. Strange smells emanate from the chemicals you use to develop your film. You plunge your hands repeatedly into the slimy liquid, watching for your prints to emerge. And you focus for hours, trying to get the timing just right. Your eyes straining as you try to distinguish the nuances of your images in the eerie red light. It's so quiet. It's so dark. You can hear everything. You can feel everything. And with your heightened senses, you know when you're not alone. If you've ever had a scary encounter in a dark room, was it as scary as what happened to Camila? Let's hear quite a few of her stories today on Homespun Hates.
Hi, everybody. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today on the show, we have another Florida person. What? Yeah, what the hell, Florida?
This is about Florida.
Camila is joining us today, and the first story that she's going to talk to us about takes place in a dark room. And I know that, Diana, you and I both have a very interesting relationship with the dark rooms of our past.
I wanted to love the dark room. I mean, being a goth kid, working in the dark with nothing but red light was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
But man, the smell. Am I right?
I don't know if you know this about me, but I have no sense of smell.
Wait, what?
I mean, very, very mild. I have to shove things in my face to smell them. For me, it was the tedium. I remember wasting so much film because I just kept fucking it up.
Oh, so you were developing photos.
Yeah, what were you doing in a dark room?
X-rays, dude. Remember back when a doctor had to take an X-ray and then excuse themselves for 20 minutes to go develop it in the dark room? Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like at the used car sales lot where they were going back and deciding how much they were going to charge you.
I wish. Nope, we're going back and questioning our life choices by our hands and disgusting chemicals. You mean you had to stand there with all the chemicals around you, breathing that nasty air while trying to do precision work?
Yeah, why do you think I hated it so much?
Oh my goodness, all I had to do was run the film through.
Well, I'm sure it had to be precision work too. You had to make sure the vertebrae weren't like, you don't want to double expose that. That would.
Oh, no, you can't with the X-ray developing.
You have two spines.
It looks like you absorbed a twin there somewhere.
We are joined here with Camila today, and she is joining us from Florida.
Yeah.
Diana and I actually used to live in Florida. We lived over in Daytona Beach, which is how we met each other 13 years ago. So we're somewhat familiar with the area. It would be great if you could tell us a little bit about you, where you live, any information you want to give about your background, what has maybe led to these experiences that you've had.
I'm originally from Poland. My encounters have happened everywhere from Philly to New York to Florence, Italy to Poland to Florida. So I think in all of those states, countries, something has happened. With all my experiences, this has technically led me to Christ. But I feel like before all of that, I had first opened the door to the demonic realm. People don't like saying that, I guess. I don't know how real people think that is or not, but it's real. So growing up around 12, 13, I was really into like reading up about Wicca and the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, and little things like pendulums and Ouija boards, all of that. It's never that I consider myself to be a Satanist or a witch or any of that. It was just fascinating, so I just was looking into it. So I guess that's my beginning there. Okay, so my first experience was actually in college. I had picked this college because it was, well, one, it's the oldest castle in America. It's in Philly. When I went, it was Arcadia University, but it started off as Beaver College, all girls school. And then before that, it was actually, yeah, we caught that. It was a tycoon owned it. It's just a huge mansion of his. Anyway, but it was reported to be haunted and there were murders and deaths that have taken place. And by law, I guess, in Philly, if something's haunted, you have to write that like leave, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So that's, you know, when I heard that, I'm like, what, a haunted castle? Yeah, I want to go there. That was my first choice. That was so cool. And then, of course, it's like sitting side by side next to a graveyard. So I had all these pluses, right? They even had like ghost hunters come in every so often. So it was cool. Like, basically, you could kind of conjure up already that that stuff always fascinated me. I always wanted to be a part of it. There were ghost hunting expositions. I'd be on them. So fast forward to, it's winter on a cold, stormy night. Winter time in Philly. I was studying photography. So I'm in the stables. We used to be the stables. It's now the art department. So it's a big rectangular building. It's got a courtyard in the center. It's got a huge clock tower. Just trying to paint the picture here. And it's finals week. So it's right before Christmas break. And I suffer from insomnia since I was 8. So for me, going to sleep 5-6 in the morning is very normal. So then I was in that classroom already, maybe 8-9 hours soaking film papers. Let's see. This is like, I think I was in there from 2 o'clock. It might have been 10 by now. And the security guard made his last rounds. And he's like, hey, letting you know that I'm locking up. Once the door's closed, once you leave, you can't come back in. So I'm like, okay, no problem. But he's like, hey, don't worry. This guy, Mark, I guess like a student chaperone or something, some student was supposed to show up and make sure everything's cleaned up and closed for the night. So he's like, this guy, Mark, is going to come by. So be on the lookout. I'm like, okay. So he left. And then shortly after, I remember hearing like footsteps or what sounded like someone walking in the building. And then I was on the second floor. So I heard what you'd imagine, just someone coming into the building and walking upstairs and then through the classroom. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm in a dark room. So I didn't want to surprise him or something. So I thought, let me go out there and say hi, introduce myself. So I went out and there's no one there. So I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. Maybe he forgot something. He went back out, whatever. And then again, like an hour later, same thing. I hear someone walking. I get out of the dark room, go into the main room, try to say hi. No one. I'm kind of like, okay, that's weird because it's so real. It's not that I'm making it up. So I'm like, okay, that's creepy. Let me just like look around and see the other classrooms. The building shaped like a rectangle. So I was like on this back corner. So I had to make my rounds into every other room. And it's dark. It's creepy. Like the floorboards are all rickety. It's just, it's an old building. So I'm still going in there, very courageous, walking through all the rooms, you know, looking through the light switches. And sure enough, nothing. And I'm like, okay, now I'm kind of getting freaked out, but whatever. Going back in. And by now it was like after midnight for sure. It must've been like 1 or 2. So then I hear again, someone walking in. Now it sounds like they put a stack of books on the table. And I'm like, okay. So again, let me go out there and say hi. Again, nothing. This happens 2 more times. Finally, this person leans into the dark room. I don't know if you're familiar with dark rooms, but basically they have a hallway, kind of like letter S. So you can't just open the door and see through. You have to go around the hallway. So I'm at my machine and I'm kind of facing a wall and behind me is a big sink and all the papers are soaking. And above the sink is a vent. So it's just eye level. So you can't see anything here, then space, the sink, you have to walk around it. So I'm in this corner, the rest of the room is behind me, the sink's behind me. And then to this far left is the doorway. And I could tell it's a guy because I could see him on peripheral. But the minute I look towards him, he'd be gone. But I see him look in, like tilt his head in. And I mean, this is so real that as I'm at my projector looking down, I'm like, hey, hold on, I'll be right there. And when you're editing in the dark room, you can't really take your focus off because you mess up. So I'm not looking up at him, just kind of to the side, but talking to him, very sure that he's there. Like, hey, I'll be right there. Give me a second. So I finish my piece and I walk out to say hi and he's gone. I'm like, what the heck? Like, is he messing with me? So again, I go back. He looks in again. And this time he starts walking to me, but I'm already like, hey, give me 1 second. Before I know it, he's already like up on me and I feel his whole front of his body against my back and his arm like on my stomach. So my first thought is, dude, I don't know you. Why are you? Oh. So of course I'm freaking out. So I spun around really fast and I hear my voice echo, you know, it's like gasped, turn around and there's no one. But I mean, this was so real. I'm like, are you freaking, like, I'm freaking out. So I walk behind the sink because I can't see past that vent. So I make my way around it. No one. And then the room kind of goes into this dark hallway. So I'm in there blindly, like, moving my arm around, trying to see if someone's hiding in there. Nothing. I'm, like, freaking out. So I ran back out into the main room. No one there. I'm just like, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just delirious. I've been in here, like, 10 hours, 12, 13 hours at this point. I'm just trying to talk myself out of, like, what just happened. But rewind really quick. So when it actually happened, not only am I, like, I'm seeing him approach, I feel him, I spun around. And I mean, everything happened so quick. It hit me. I realized, like instantly, I looked at the time. It was 3:30 exactly. And, like, maybe in the back of my head, I knew something about the 3:30. But then I remember, like, later watching Rosemary's Baby. They had a clip where something with the 3:30 in the morning, the devil thing. And it's weird because pretty much similar things that happened to her in that movie happened to me. And I remember, like, seeing that shortly after my experience. And I was, like, bawling. I registered, okay, 3:30, and then it hit me, like, wait, I didn't even hear the bell ring one time. Where normally, it's a clock tower, like, you hear it, you know, it's on the hour, and it's on the half hour. Like, it just registered, like, wow, I don't recall hearing it at all. And then at that moment, it was 3:30, so anyway, so I went back out in the hallway or main room, he wasn't there, no one was there. So I finally, like, talked myself into, like, okay, maybe I'm just delirious, freaking out. I go back in, and mind you, I had so much work, and it was finals week, so I wasn't about to just run out of there and leave it, right? So I stayed for the next 2 hours. Every 2 to 3 minutes, this person, like, being behind me, and, like, I could feel him, like, near my ear or, like, grazing my hair. And it was so creepy to where if I just put the projector on for 2 or 3 seconds on a moment where I did not need to sit there and edit, I would just, like, sputter myself around and hold my back to my projector so that I could have my eyes behind me, I guess. And I started talking to this thing, like, oh my gosh, please leave me alone. It was nuts. Anyway, so I leave, I'm in this building, I'm finishing up on my work, and then I have to walk down this tiny little staircase, it's all rickety, and this guy, Mark, never showed up, conveniently. So I make my way back. This was my first semester at campus, and it was the only time I ever lived on campus. I left, went down this, like, little hillside, through the snow, went up to my dorm room. It must have been like 5 in the morning, 5:30. I remember just laying down in bed. And then all of a sudden at my feet, it felt like someone sat down. And I think I was just in so much fear that I think I fainted, because the next thing I know, I hear people in the hallway and I run out because, you know, I wake up and I realize everything that's happened. So I run out and find my girlfriend and I run to her room and I'm like, hey. And she sees me and she's like, Camila, don't even tell me anymore. She's like, just stop, just go to the clinic. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I remember, like, being shaky, my voice all weird. I'm like, no, like, I think I saw a ghost. Like, I'm like trying to tell her. Fast forward late in the day, I remember just being in this, like, fog where I can't think about anything but that. That night, she's like, you know what? I'm going to sleep in your room with you so you're not alone. I'm like, all right. But, you know, she's falling asleep like a regular person at midnight. I'm up there till 3, 4, 5. The sun started coming up, so I closed the blinds. I'm like, all right, it's my bedtime. So I laid down, and to this day, I have this habit of laying down, like stretching out, where I kind of cross my legs and cross my arms over my head. So I do that. And then next thing I know, I feel that same pressure where I felt the bed sit down. I feel that, but on either side of me. Like, I feel like what I'd imagine being someone's knees on my left and on my right. And I feel the bed sink down. And then where my arms over my head are crossed over, I feel just pressure, like pushing down. And I try to move and I can't. I try to talk, yell, I can't. I mean, I'm like trying to roll around. I can't do anything. I'm basically managing to get like these weird struggling noises out. And then my friend wakes up and she stands up and she's kind of like hovering over me, but to the side. And she's like, Camila, are you okay? I managed to say like, someone's on top of me, but it's like all broken and raspy, right? And she's like, it's me. I'm like, no, like someone's on top. And she's like, it's me. I'm like, no, like I managed to like yell. I'm like, no, like someone's on top of me holding me down. Like I somehow managed to get that out. And she's like freaked out. So she runs, turns the lights on. The minute she turns the lights on, I just felt a release, but my body, I was shaking so hard. My teeth were chattering. In order for me to talk to her, I had to put my finger between my teeth so they wouldn't like break down on each other. And I managed to talk to her that way. And I think throughout the whole thing, that's what I was freaked out about the most, is I had zero control over my body. I couldn't get myself to stop shaking. And I shook for like an hour. I was just a mess and like trembling. I couldn't talk. So that was that experience. That was the weirdest or scariest one for me. And it was what I felt was most demonic, I guess you could say, because I could feel it was negative from this fear I had that someone's in the building to them holding me and pinning me down on my bed. So fast forward to the rest of my life. that was 2005. And I want to say 2015 was probably the last time I really had anything happen. So good stretch of 10 years. So between then and 2015, I've had everything from peripheral, the minute I looked, I couldn't see it, to straight on, to where I could walk through, to where it looks like a person, to where I literally have their hand in mine and they're talking to me and they're solid. I've only had two women, and I've seen everything from like just thick, foggy air to a black silhouette in the distance. I mean, like different variations. And I've had to where I don't see anything, but I know it's there and I feel. Actually, the condo I'm living in now, I remember when I purchased this, and it's weird because you would think like I wouldn't want it because of the reason, but when my realtor brought me here, I remember I definitely was under the impression that someone else is in the house with us, because even when we came in, I'm like, hey, don't get startled. It, you know, like we're in here too. Like we're walking in. And I would have put money down that someone was in what is now my bedroom. And there was no one there when we got there. And it was so weird because when I looked at her, we were both like, yeah, that feels like someone should have been here. Like, you know, we both mutually, at least I thought it was mutual. But anyway, so there's no one here. And something just kept pulling me into this place. So a couple minutes into living here, like buying the place, I still had an air mattress. But like that's how new it was. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night. So I'm wide awake. It's not like lucid dreaming or something. Wide awake to a man standing at the side of my bed. And he was what basically looked like Renaissance attire, right? I just remember like trying to lift up my arm and like pointing to him like, who are you? Like, what are you doing here? And I couldn't even get the words out completely. I was all shaky. And as I lifted my arm to like gesture towards him, he came closer. He put his hand into mine and he spoke in a language I did not understand. And then he knelt down. And when he knelt down and I heard like the crunch of the carpet under his knee, the reality of all of it like shook me. So I grabbed my hand out or pulled back and he just kind of diminished. He was just gone. I've had the two women I've seen. So in this same bedroom, like getting ready to go to bed, I had my phone, put my phone away. And then I must've like just texted somebody or something because it lit up because I got another text. So the phone lights up and there's a woman. She was more of silhouette-y. I couldn't really tell you what kind of hair she had, but I could tell it's a woman. And she's in the middle of the bedroom. And when that light lit up from the phone, she gasped and put her hands over her mouth and turned around and ran back into the wall that I guess she was coming from. So like I caught her in the middle of the room and then she ran back. I went to Poland with my mother. This is in 2010, I think. And we were visiting her family, which also lives literally on a cemetery, like on the lines. And we went upstairs to the guest bedroom. We had a rollout couch. So her and I are laying next to each other. And like regular, I put my hands up over my head and just stretch out. And then at this point, it's like a good 5 years that my family's aware of what I go through. So I'm like, hey, mom, like, don't freak out, but someone's holding my hand. Like, so I felt like a hand go into one of my hands and just hold me. And at this point, like, I could already tell negative, positive, right? And I wasn't startled. This was just normal at this point for me. So I didn't want my mom freaking out. So I told him, like, you know, someone's just holding my hand. And then I feel them release. And I could tell it's a man. And he looks more like a thick white fog. And he makes his way kind of like behind our heads and over to our side, to my mom's side, then to our feet. So I see him walking. She's not seeing any of it though. But what was cool is as he got to our feet, it felt like there wasn't a blanket, but it almost felt like he'd be pulling up a blanket starting from our feet up to our knees or our waist and kind of stopping like at your chest, you know, because you just felt this like complete even pressure everywhere. And it just felt very comforting, like someone's tucking you into bed. And if I had to say, I would say it's her father, but you know, you know, I don't even like saying that because I don't believe now as a Christian, I don't believe that ghosts are past family members or whatever. I think the demonic would like to have us believe that they are, if that makes sense. I truly believe it's either heaven or hell and that's it. There is no middle ground. There's no,
Purgatory?
Purgatory, thank you. So I don't believe that. At that time in my head, my brain would have hit like, oh, that might be grandpa. But yeah, I don't believe that now. So anyway, this person, this man makes his way to our feet and then basically feels like he's tucking us in. And what was cool here is that my mom, though she did not see him, she actually is the one that narrated what was happening. She's like, oh my gosh, I feel someone like at my feet. And then she's like saying how it's like on her legs and her waist and on her chest. She's explaining it as I'm seeing it and feeling it. So for me, it was cool because it was like, oh, finally, I'm not crazy. You know, like finally someone else is validating that this is for real. Because when it first happened, like the very first time, the one at school, that was so real and it shook me for like a month. I would cry if I even tried to tell my family about it. But if time passes, you're like, well, wait, did I make that up? Was I like hallucinating? Was I, you know, like you try to like justify. And so there were times where I kept seeing things every week, every 2 weeks, every month. And it felt like, okay, am I going crazy? Like, you know, you just kind of start freaking out. And it's exhausting. It's tiring. I mean, I remember I already have insomnia. So now if something happened to me on a night that was particularly struggling falling asleep, then forget it. I would never go to sleep at night. So I remember going to work and working 2-3 days straight on zero sleep. And you're just kind of like in this mental delirium of like, what is going on? And you can't focus on anything but what happened to you the night before. It was just a rough, rough couple years there. Oh, another female one. It was 2013. I was in Atlanta driving. This is actually probably one of my favorite ones. I'm driving and it's, again, close to 3 a.m. But for Atlanta, there's still decent traffic, not traffic, but you know, there's cars. And I'm on the interstate and I'm heading one direction and the other lane's going the other. And between the two, there's a median separating us. And just like maybe waist high median. And I remember seeing a cop car on the opposite side, and it would look like they pulled someone over, but near the median versus like out in the grass. So I'm thinking, well, that's weird, you know? And then I notice what looks like a woman, short shoulder length hair, one of those little coats that come down to the knees. And I'm thinking, what is this woman doing out here in traffic, right? So I'm already starting to look to my right if I get changed lanes, if I get further. And mind you, this is happening quickly, right? You're driving at 70 miles an hour, so. I'm like, I'm seeing the cop car, I'm seeing her go over the median, I'm already trying to look if I could change lanes, and then as I'm getting closer, I realize, wait a minute, I know what this is, I've seen this before, this is a human, because at this point, I should start distinguishing between hair and skin and clothing, but it all just remains one solid color. I'm like, okay, I recognize this, I know what this is, and I'm still kind of thinking like to go over. But there's a car kind of relatively near me, so I don't have enough time to go ahead and switch lanes. And I just remember that feeling of like, okay, here goes nothing, like brace yourself. And I drove through her, and I wish these were my words. I read it later, like somewhere when I was like researching other people's experiences and stuff. And whoever said this, I don't remember now, but this woman said, it felt like being pierced by 1,000 icicles. And that was the most perfect explanation. Like that's exactly what it felt like. Like the idea of like jumping into a freezing cold pool. Yeah, it was like that, but it was separate. Like you feel almost every puncture wound, if that makes sense. It was so bizarre. It was the craziest thing. I don't know if this is what you were expecting to hear.
This is perfect. Wow. So you said it started in 2005 with the encounter in the dark room, which I also went to art school. So I've spent plenty of time in dark rooms. And I think Diana, you've spent time in dark rooms as well. And
They're creepy enough as it is.
Oh, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Daytime, they're creepy. Yeah.
You can't see anything. There's weird smells. You're sticking your hands in all this goop. You're supposed to wear the gloves, but nobody really wears the gloves.
No. Actually, like, this was a week or so before finals. And I mean, I would like to think I'm brave, but I remember after that incident, I couldn't even go. I'd like, you know, if someone was going to the room, I'd be like, oh, yeah, me too. And if they're like leaving, I'm like, oh, I'll go with you. I need to get something. I refused to be left alone in that room. It was like the scariest thing for me. So it was stupid. Like, I still had work to do, but I wouldn't do it without someone near me, but I couldn't tell anyone. So
did you ever find out any more about what could have caused that? I mean, was there anything in particular in that particular area that could have triggered it?
Yeah, well, actually, so in the stables, apparently there was a murder in the stables. I mean, like, this castle is such a cool story on its own. Like, apparently a little girl hung herself accidentally by her scarf running down the small staircase in the actual main castle. There was a mistress that was murdered, and they had underground hallways leading into all the rooms. I mean, it's so cool. And if you visit it, you could still see the different chambers underground and stuff. It's really cool. But yeah, so like, there have legit been reported murders and accidental deaths and things throughout the years. So
you said in the stable itself there had been a murder?
Yeah, so a man had been murdered. And I believe he was actually the stable keeper, like the horse taker care of her.
So you said that, you know, first, of course, there was that experience there. And then you went back and you had that terrifying experience in your dorm room. It was in your dorm room, right? And then you said for the next 10 years, you saw the stuff and experience these things. But then in 2015, it just all kind of stopped.
Somewhere, I want to say 2012, I moved to New York at one point. So it was like right around that time, like I said earlier, kind of felt like I'm going crazy at times. I mean, I was like having restless days and nights. Oh, I actually totally left out a huge other part. So as this all was happening, I also started having astral projections.
Kind of like, oh, wow.
So I started leaving my body, right? And I don't know, like, how much people believe in that, but it happens. It's a thing. So your body goes into sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis, they tell you, is your body's way of protecting itself from sleepwalking. So your body will actually fall asleep. The problem is, anyone who's experienced sleep paralysis is they wake up, but their body's asleep. So you can't move. And that would be cool in itself, except everyone who's experienced sleep paralysis also experiences a demonic being in the room. So even if you look up the definition, it will tell you, oh yeah, your body is doing XYZ. Oh, and also there's a demonic presence. P.S.
Yeah.
Like, just thrown in there. It's true. You really feel either a presence. I mean, I've heard other people's stories, but for me, it's always feeling a presence. Like, feeling as in I could tell someone's in the room with me, that kind of feeling. Or actually physically, I could feel their body on top of mine. And I feel them kind of like the way the first time at the dorm room when I felt them pushed down on my body. So I go through months of that, like years of that, actually. So that was a huge part of me just not being able to sleep at night, or, you know, not being able to at all sleep and go to work and function 2-3 days on zero sleep. It was mostly because of sleep paralysis, which to me, I just joined the two with seeing ghosts all the time because I don't separate them. It's the same thing to me, just more severe. So anyway, so somewhere in there, I started also leaving my body. And then when I would leave my body, I've only ever had one experience where I actually saw other entities. When you look up people's stories, they say it happens a lot. They see other people. I never saw anything but one time. So I would leave the body, and it became almost not an obsession, but like a hobby, to where I wanted, like, once you leave, you're kind of like, I need to do that again because it's incredible. So I started like trying to teach myself and start meditating, which now I see how that's totally a gateway to the demonic, and I would never do that again. But I didn't know that at the time. I guess I thought it was therapeutic at the time. So I'd be leaving my body all the time. But around that time, I started reaching out and like looking what other people are doing and how they're dealing with sleep paralysis and all that. So I started noticing people talking about, would pray to Jesus that these things will leave you alone. And, you know, like, for me, it was like, this is so cheesy. I mean, I grew up at 12 years old rejecting the Catholic Church, and Marilyn Manson was like my childhood crush. So I was like, God, kid. Bible. So for me, I'm like, really, Jesus? Like, this is cheesy. But I was desperate. I was honestly like struggling. So I'll try anything. So when this would happen to me, if I was able to talk, I would say, you know, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, like three times, like, let me see what happens. And it felt corny and weird, but honestly, like, it started working. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then I started like, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And that would work instantly. And I'm like, okay, this is nuts. Like, there's something to this, right? And so that was like, I want to say 2013 or so. And that started opening the gateway into like looking into Christianity and such. I don't know if that answered the question you were looking for.
Well, so I guess as you started changing your belief system and becoming a Christian, would you say then a lot of the stuff sort of started to leave you alone as a result?
And oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. For sure. I mean, it was less and less and less. So much so that even between 13 and 15, maybe, I mean, I would have it every 2-3 months, which was very rare. Like, that's very rare. From literally sometimes it'd be like every day for a couple of weeks, and it would be like nothing every other week, or maybe once a month. But then again, like every day for 3 weeks, it was like always something. And then all of a sudden I went to literally like 6 times a year. It was awesome. I was like, this is great. It's leaving me alone.
And wow.
Oh, I am just covered in shivers right now.
Wow.
So I'll tell you, like, when I did leave my body, right? When I did see someone. So people leave their body in different ways. This particular way I left, and it was weird because I was hovering really, like, really close to the floor and on my stomach. Sometimes people, when it's an accidental astral projection, they usually have no control, and they usually just leave their body, and they're typically on their back. And they just kind of like levitate maybe 3 feet off their body, above their body. But, you know, I got pretty good at coming out. So I was already either up front or kind of like I'm flying like on your stomach. So this particular time I came out, but I was like a foot off the floor. Very weird. And kind of made my way out my bedroom and out through the living room, try to go out to the front door, because I got in the habit of like, okay, I'm going to get out. I'm going to go above my house so I can look at all the trees from above. And then my next mission is like, go to my sister's house who lives a couple blocks away, check out what her place looks like so I can call her in the morning and confirm, like, this is for real. I really was there. So I always had a plan, like, what can I do? Anyway, so this particular time I'm leaving, and as I'm at my front door, there's these two, and I could only say entities because I didn't see faces. I couldn't even tell you if they were like, this sounds weird. I couldn't tell you they were human because if I had to like remember what they looked like, I would just say they're like, just like figures of light, which I've never seen even like in my ghost moment, you know, seeing spirits or ghosts. I've never seen light figures. It was always like smoke or milky fog or something, but not a light figure. Anyway, so there was these two light beings. They're both sitting on each side of me, left and right, and they put their hands on my shoulders. And mind you, I'm still like on my stomach floating above the ground. And they both put their hands, like two on each side on my shoulders, and they just push me back into my body. It was so weird. And without words, they just like, I think it was like telepathic, because I just remember like I could hear them in my head, but I didn't, again, it's like I didn't understand their language, but I knew what they were saying. Very weird. And they pushed me back in my body and basically told me never do this again. And that was the last time I ever did that. So I actually did have recently where I could tell I'm like leaving my body, and I like caught myself, but it was like not intentional. It was just happening. But yeah, but that was the last time. So
I mean, do you suspect, I mean, do you think they were angels or something of that nature?
Yeah, I know like the Bible says that angels will interject and they do come and, you know, so if I had to say anything, yeah, I would say angels. To me, it didn't feel like a demonic anything. And because I've never seen anything like this, I would have to say something angelic like.
Oh, wow. So all of that, but you never had any experiences at all before this one in the dark room in 2005.
Right, nothing. Familiar with the pendulums? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like you hang a heavy object on string. I don't know, I was taught from my mother. And it was like an old Polish thing. I'm sure they do it everywhere, but in Europe, it's a big thing. So you hold this pendulum and you ask it questions. And you could say like, whatever, am I going to get married? And we'll spin yes or no to the right or to the left. It's kind of like you're treating it like a Ouija board, but with a yes or no question. And I remember being able to do that, but doing it so well. I mean, imagine like you're holding this thing and you say, spin to the right. And it will spin to the right. And your hand is very steady, but this thing is spinning. And you're like, faster, faster. And I mean, I could literally just hold my hand straight and get this thing spinning like close to where it's touching my arm. And I could be like, and stop. And it will fall dead straight. And it'd be like, now spin left. And I could pick it up quickly. That's crazy. If you think about it, like, oh, I'm just getting chills. Think about it. Like, I was 12 or 13 doing this. What? That's insane.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, when I look back, I'm like, because I've had other friends who were like kind of into it and trying to do it, but I've never had anyone be able to do it, say as well, I guess, as I, and like have that much control. So whatever was moving this item, it's obviously been lingering around me for a while.
You mentioned that the condo that you're living in now, I'm assuming you've been there for a while, mm-hmm. but you knew there was some kind of, I don't know, force, energy, something in it when you purchased it, and yet you still chose to purchase it?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's weird. And this is how I explain. Like when you leave your body, it's scary. But imagine like if you left your body, it's also kind of like this weird like, holy cow, that was amazing. That was awesome. I need to do that again. Kind of like that. So yeah, I was like freaked out. But something in you is like, hey, I need to experience that again. Because it's like a weird high, like a thrill. And I don't know. I really don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. I don't know what brought, like, what pulled me to this. I just remembered another fun one that somebody also validated. I think this is the first one that happened since the one in the dorm room. So it must have been just like a year after because I was back here. This happened in Tampa. I was with a boyfriend. He moved with me from Philly. And he never believed me that any of this happened. So just really crazy because why would I be making, and especially then it's like, I couldn't get these words out without crying and shit. And the story was like 20 times longer, obviously. So not important. We're at a friend's house. We're spending the night. It's her and her boyfriend. They're talking. And then myself and my boyfriend. And all of a sudden there's a man who's like coming out of the kitchen through the living room and into the guest bedroom. And he's holding a crate of books. And I mean, he's an older man. He's got a bald head. He's wearing a wife beater and boxers, holding a crate of books. And he's just walking through the house and into the guest room. And I'm like, okay, no one else? Nope, just me? Okay, cool. Like, I guess I'm the only one. And so they all went to sleep. We slept on the couch and rolled it out. And he kept, you know, he's trying to get frisky. kind of kept freaking out because as we're on the like couch making out, there's a dude that keeps walking by and not even like looking at us. It's not like it was like weird and pervy. It was just a man just doing his thing in the living room, just walking around. I keep like stopping and getting up and like pushing him away so I could look. He's like, it's just a dog. I'm like, no, there's a dude in the living room. So a week or two pass and my friend is now moving out of that apartment. And I'm finally like, oh, cool, you're moving out? Good. Here, let me tell you what I saw. And she was a friend I was really close with, so she had already also known my experiences. So I tell her, and she's like, okay, I don't know if she believes me or not. But that night, she's in her parking lot, and she's moving out, and she's putting things in her car. And her neighbor stops her. He's like, oh, hey, you moving in? She's like, no, I'm actually moving out. He's like, oh, I've never seen you. Where were you living? And she points to her room, like to her window. And he's like, oh, and he makes a face. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, nothing, don't worry. And she's like, no, tell me you made a face. Like, what's it about? And he's like, oh, an old man had passed away in there, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, and she told me. And I'm like, oh, cool, okay. Like, again, not crazy. Like, I saw this. Like, I know I saw this. So anyway, that was that.
No, that's the best when you have like some kind of, I don't know. But it also makes it scarier when you have that sort of, I guess, closure. Well, you know what it was.
Thing like now it's like, it's not scary anymore, if that makes sense. Obviously the first couple of years are scary, but after a while it's just a part of my life. So it was more like startling. And of course, like you kind of get on edge, But it's like, oh, this is normal. I've seen this many times, you know? Yeah. So when she validates it, it wasn't even like, oh my gosh, that was real. It was like, no, I know it's real, but cool. I'm not the only one, like, because, you know, perception is reality. So it's like, cool, it might be real to me, but that might mean something's not right in my head. I'm going crazy. So like hearing someone else validate it that way, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm still sane. I'm just seeing things.
The validation I was really interested in was your mom there in Poland feeling the blanket sensation.
Yeah, that to me is my favorite one. That was so cool.
Do you mind if I ask how she reacted to that experience?
One, she had already been familiar 5 years of me going through this stuff. So of course I'd tell my parents everything I'd gone through. So she wasn't too shocked, I guess. That's not true. I mean, she was shocked because she was definitely like, oh my gosh, I feel like here, I feel this. But she just accepted it. She wasn't like freaking out and trying to move out of bed and run away. She was just like, oh my gosh, this is happening. That was so cool to me. Cool. Like I finally get to like share that with someone.
Had she been wanting to experience with you like some of these things? Had she experienced things before, or was she just listening to your stories?
When she was younger, she said that she's left her body. So I know she's had that happen. So she knows that that's at least real. Like she knows that there is another dimension, I guess, that in our regular human life, we don't experience in a daily. So she knows there's something beyond that. But does she experience anything else, or does she want to know? I don't think so.
Diana, do you have any additional questions?
I don't think so. I'm just going to really enjoy following up on how in Philadelphia you have to declare that a place is haunted.
The school is Arcadia University, if you want to check that out. Because it's so cool. I mean, it's fascinating. I was in love with it. It's beautiful.
Camila, thank you so much. This was fabulous. It's great to meet you and get you on here and talk to you. Thanks, everybody. That was our show. We are Homespun Haints. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. We are available on almost all providers, so check out your favorite one and look for us. You can also check out our site at homespunhaints.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Homespun Haints. And remember to tag your photos with Homespun Haints on Instagram so we can find your great photos and EVPs and whatever else you would like to share.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Camila.
Thanks, right, Camila. Back.
Until next time.
Have a spooky day.